you are in the Signal R. Why should web pages have all the real-time fun talk? If you're not in the right talk, please leave. So you can go see something that's more important to you than Signal R. Few things are more important to me than Signal R. It's one of my favorite technologies. I do not work on the Signal R team. I work on the Azure team up in Redmond at Microsoft. You can probably hear the accent. I'm originally from North Carolina, Dirty South. I work on the Azure SDK. How many of you were in the dev keynote yesterday? Did you guys enjoy that? Did that look fun? Any Azure users in here? Cool. If you have any questions about Azure afterwards, just find me, tweet me, whatever. I have this thing that I like to do before I give any of the 19 SignalR talks that I have up my sleeve. I'm not going to tell you how SignalR works. That's not the point of this talk. If you want to learn how SignalR works, I would recommend the same thing that Damian Edwards recommends. Damian usually comes down here and does these talks because he's a local. And I like to fall out into his accent and call it SignalR because that's what he calls it. And I want to honor his creation. But what I want to tell you is, what Damian likes to say is, if they ask you how SignalR works, remind them that it's open source. Go get the code. Look at it. All right, so I'm not really going to go into detail on the WebSockets and Forever Frame and the fallback and blah, blah, blah. I'm really not going to go into detail on that. I encourage you to take a peek at the code. It's crazy code. Damien and David recently did a talk at, I believe, NDC, where they got on stage and Damien wrote the server-side stuff, the client-side stuff, and David wrote the server-side stuff, and in 1 hour they rewrote SignalR from scratch, just for fun. He was telling me about it in San Francisco. He said, you would have been so proud. I was like, I'm always proud of your creation. It's a fantastic creation. Anybody use SignalR yet? That is about 100% more hands than usually go up, which always makes me cry because it's such a fantastic technology. How many of you would feel like on a scale of 1 to 5, you're greater than 3 at knowing how SignalR works? Okay, so you're an addict as well, right? Okay, cool. You may not get a lot out of this. I'm just going to be frank with you. Okay, cool. Same thing for you, sir. You may not get a lot out of this. This is a gimmick talk. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've done this talk about a dozen times all over the world. People love it. It's like the easiest technology to sell. You see it, you're like, I want to use that. I also have this quote that I like to say about SignalR. It makes everything look like a nail. You know, it's the hammer. And once you see it, you're like, I got to figure out how to use this. Or figure out where to use it, or talk my boss into letting me use it. Or taught my wife and it'll let me play until 2 in the morning, or my husband. Okay, so it's just one of those addictive technologies. It's a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of demos today. Also going to have a lot of slides. Somebody throw something at me if it gets to be about 5 of, whatever time we have to say goodbye to one another. I'll keep an eye on the watch, but I could talk about SignalR for 17 hours straight, never get tired. So I just want to go ahead and let you know I may run over. Just leave. All right. Me. This is me. I am a program manager on the Windows Azure SDK team. I focus on .NET and Java and a little bit of PHP. I can barely spell PHP, so I wouldn't ask me like how to use it. That's me on Twitter. It's definitely the best way to find me. Second best way to find me is on my blog, and you can feel free to email me at Microsoft, BradyG@Microsoft. If you do this and you have a question about like Azure IaaS, I'm going to bounce you to somebody else. But I come from the evangelism team. I switched over from evangelism to technology, or engineering as we like to call it. So I know a lot of people in a lot of the other organizations. So I do a lot of email fielding. So if you need to set up an IaaS server, I'm not going to tell you how to do that because I'd piss you off. So I would send you to Corey or somebody that really knows what they're talking about with that. I have 1 wife, 2 sons, 2 chihuahuas, 2 guitars, 3 microcontrollers, none of which I really ever get to play with because I have 2 kids, 1 wife, 2 jobs, da 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 da. So I don't really have a lot of free time. But when I do, I like to come and talk to you guys. This is the most appropriate quote to talk about SignalR. Arthur C. Clarke said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Okay? It's a great quote. It also explains what I like to call the Zen of SignalR. SignalR is a series of abstractions around a few persistent HTTP connections. If you've not seen SignalR yet, a little red light probably just went off in your mind if you're a web developer, because two of those words don't go together. persistent HTTP. Why is that? What kind of a protocol is HTTP? Stateless, okay? They sort of trick it. Now, this is an abstraction, okay? Now, with WebSockets, if WebSockets is available on the client side and the server side, and we'll get into that in a minute, it's going to party on WebSockets, and that's really going to be real time. Same thing for service and events. That's going to be kind of close to real time, and then they kind of fall back, and they go down the chain until they get to something called long polling, which you've probably done in your AJAX code. Bang, 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 bang. Okay, so it basically figures out how to party real time based on the client side and the server side. Highest form of technology in that area is going to be WebSockets. Now, here's how SignalR works with older servers or clients. Older meaning like 2 years ago, okay, or like older, IE6. Okay. The server, or the client says, you got data, got data, got data, got data. Over and over and over and over and over again. Until the server says, yep, here's some data. Guess what happens next? Got data, got data, got data, got data, got data. Now, each one of those got datas has a timeout on it. And it's going to say something like, I want you to listen for 30 seconds. It's an open connection. It waits for the server to go, here you go. And then it goes, got anything? One more time. Now, any IIS admins in the room? Don't be ashamed. Okay. If you know anything about IIS, especially the older versions of IIS, I'm showing my age here, gray hair, but you've probably heard these numbers like 25 threads, and an IIS is going to die. So how can it maintain an open connection? Because of the async framework. Damien and David are nuts for async. And everything they do in SignalR sits on top of all the asynchronous functionality that's always been in ASP.NET. But it's always been really hard to use. So they took the task-based async model, applied it to all that async stuff, and made it really easy. Like Arthur C. Clarke says, it's so easy when you see it, it doesn't make sense. You're like, how could that work? How in God's name could that actually function? But that's what they do. They basically just use all the async stuff, and it doesn't block threads on IIS because of the fact that it's asynchronous. There have been some benchmarks that they've done in their stress team. And let me tell you, the Microsoft stress team, I mean, you just get stressed out as a programmer thinking about having to go through stress. Because they'll do something like fire up a SignalR hub with 30,000 connections for 2 weeks. And they record everything. And then they go over to Damien and David's office and they go, oh, missed something. So they got to do it again. So when I tell you that we stress test this stuff, believe me, especially SignalR. SignalR is one of those hot technologies in Microsoft. What happens whenever you invent something cool in your company? Everybody wants to make it look bad. So everybody pounds on SignalR, trying to break it. And they occasionally do. And then David and Damien work for the next 24 hours and fix whatever it was that was wrong. Okay, so I want to point out that they've basically benchmarked it. One server, one SignalR hub, which I'll explain to you in a moment if you don't know what it is yet, can support 50,000 simultaneous connections. One server, one C# class inheriting from the SignalR hub class, 50,000 connections. There's this thing that I'm going to talk to you today called backplaning. Have you done backplaning yet? Oh, I'm going to blow your mind. I get to teach you something. It's fantastic. He's my dragon in the audience. He's going to be checking me over and over again. Okay, with backplaning, anybody ever had a server farm, one website, 10 servers? Okay, well, SignalR hubs live on one server. So if you want to load balance your site, you have to put a backplane behind all your servers so that all the servers can communicate with one another. Now, if you've got one server supporting 50,000 connections and then you add 10 servers, what do you think you're going to have? It's going to be insane. You can connect all those clients. They have a goal, and I don't know where they are because I've been too busy to talk to them since I moved over to their team. Ironic. I used to sit next to them, and I never talked to them. I shut my door because all they do is scream and laugh. Okay, that they're there all the time. They want to get the one hub, one server thing up to 500,000. That's their goal. Now imagine if you get the one server, one hub thing up to 500,000 and then you load balance that puppy. You can forget about it, okay? Now, here's what it looks like with, I should say new servers or clients. Sorry, typo, badness. You can tell I copied and pasted this. That's newer servers or clients like IE10, IIS8, Google, et cetera, et cetera. The client will say, hey, I do real-time. I know how to speak WebSockets. Do you? services, yep, I'm good, let's do this. And then they party in real time. All right, so that's what happens when you've got WebSockets. Here's the cool part. Anybody think WebSockets is like the greatest thing since sliced bread? Really? I mean, nobody? Guess what? There will be something better one day. And if you wrote directly to WebSockets, what do you think you're going to have to do when that cool thing comes out? You're going to have to redo your app. David and Damien take that problem away from you because they have an abstraction called SignalR, and they maintain it. Whenever somebody comes up with a newer and better real-time technology, they add that in as one of the fallbacks. You don't have to change your code. You can just keep partying on SignalR. If you don't believe it, after you're inspired today from this demonstration series, write a SignalR app, run it on an old server, then put it on a 2012 server, and both times, look at your fiddler trace, and you're going to see that with the old client and the old server, it's going to be polling. And when you do it with the new server and the new client, it's going to be an open connection. They figure out what they can do, and they pick the best one dynamically. And again, you can look through the JavaScript code and see how all that works if you want to. If you figure it out, let me know. Okay. This is my demo that I always start with. I swore one time that I would never do Damien's demo that he starts with, the move shape demo. You've probably seen this. Since I've modified his move shape demo and, in my opinion, made it cooler, now I do his move shape demo too because I like to set it up and then blow your mind with mine. But I have my own move shape demo that I like to call the hit counter demo. So I'm going to start with the hit counter demo, and I have to apologize because the name of this presentation is Why Should Web Pages Have All the Fun? I'm still going to do a couple of web page demos, but then I'm actually going to get into other clients. Okay, so we'll get to all that. I've got a couple surprises for you. You should see the table. It's deliberately hidden. All right, so what I want to do real quick is I want to open up the hit counter demo. It's a real simple app. I'm just going to kind of walk through the code real quick. All right, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to open up this hit counter hub thing right here. I've got a second demo right here. And you'll see that in this class, back of the room, is that visible? I got a complaint yesterday that people couldn't see my font. Everybody okay? Thumbs up? Okay, cool. You'll see that I've got hit counter hub, and it inherits from another class called hub. And if I move my mouse right here over hub, you'll see that that is microsoft.aspnet.signalr.hub right there. Now what I do, I don't have to inherit from that. I don't have to override anything in that by default. I can just start slapping methods on it. So what I'm going to do, those of you who are as obsessive as I will notice that I have a static variable on a server-side thing. Just forgive me, okay? In reality, you'd have this in a database somewhere or something other than a static variable. This is a demo, okay? All right, now I've got a method here called recordHit, and I have clients.all.hitRecorded. Now I'm going to explain that syntax in the next slide, but what I'll do real quickly just to kind of tee that up, I'm going to put a dot right here, and you'll see that I've got all, and I've got caller, I've got client, group, and others. So let's say that I want to send a message to every single connected client that happens to be on that web server right now. Which one of these do you think I need to use? That one. Which one do you think I need to call if I want to call back to the caller? See how easy this is? See why I always quote Arthur C. Clarke in these talks? I just pick who I want to send the message to, and it goes there. And here's the part that makes some people cringe. Of course, that's going to happen. Dynamic expression. C-sharp dynamic. Fear, fear. I hated this concept with a passion until I started partying with SignalR. Once you play with SignalR, you grok the concept of C-sharp dynamic coding. It makes sense to you. Promise. You'll see this in a second. Now, the other thing that you'll see on this guy is that I've got this hub name attribute, and I'm passing it hit counter. Here's why I'm doing that. I'm going to open up this HTML page. No server-side magic whatsoever in this guy. You'll see that right here I'm calling create hub proxy, and I pass it hit counter. If I commented this out, I would want to put that right there. So you can either call it by the name of the class, or you can use the hub name attribute, make it whatever you want, and then call that. Now, in your client-side code, and I'm not saying JavaScript there on purpose, okay? In your client-side code, you basically say, I want to create a new hub connection, and you'll see that I've imported two files, jQuery, jQuery.signalr. SignalR is a jQuery plugin, all right? So you basically import one, import the other, and then you get all this stuff, and since Mads, my good buddy, has made all the IntelliSense love for us in Visual Studio, you don't even really have to think about it. You don't have to know SignalR to make it work, all right? So then I call con, my connection, dot create hub proxy. That's going to hand me back a client-side proxy for this hub. If you've ever done AdWeb reference, again, I'm showing my age, you know that you get a references.cs file. That's your proxy. That's basically what a hub is. It's a proxy back to your SignalR hub on the server side. The difference is it goes both ways. It goes in and out. Okay? Now, the last thing that I'm going to have to do here is I'm going to call the connection.start method, and I'm going to pass it a callback. Now, when I first played with SignalR, I did this. All right? And it would never work. So I was thinking to myself, self, maybe start is an asynchronous method. Maybe David and Damien thought to themselves, this is going to be an asynchronous method. I don't know how long it's going to take to run. So I'm going to give them a callback feature that they can tell me what to do. And just to try it out, I changed my code to work like that, and it worked. This is so logical. It'll make your head spin. It's just so easy to do real time in SignalR. All right, and then I'm going to do this awesome thing here, hub.on. Let me zoom in on that for you. Hub.on. And if I go right here, hub.invoke. Pretty logical, right? If I want to invoke a method on the hub, call invoke. If I want to handle something that the server tells me to do, I'm going to call on. And see this string that I'm passing it right here? Right here? Hit recorded. Look at the code. Hit recorded. So I'm going to say clients.run a method that is dynamic, so it doesn't really exist anywhere, and the client can figure out what to do. Because the client's going to basically put an event handler looking for that method. Whenever the server says run hit recorded, you run this callback. Is that logical? Does that make sense? Who thinks it's going to work? Yeah, that's what I thought. No hands go up. Happens every time. All right, so I'm going to hit F5 real quick. Cross your fingers. And I'm going to go ahead and warn you. The failure ratio or the failure probability for some of the demos that you're going to see today is like 95%. So I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. And it's not because of SignalR. It's because I have devices up here that just should not be on stage when you're doing a SignalR talk. Okay, which I'll get to in a moment. So there's one, there's two, there's three. That's really sexy, Brady. That's great. Five, six, seven. Cool, huh? So see, as I refresh one, all the other browsers get updated. Now, remember the name of this talk is, like, why should web pages have all the fun? You saw something else like this during the dev keynote. You saw a browser link. How do you think browser link works? It hosts a SignalR hub inside of Visual Studio. That's how SignalR, that's how BrowserLink works. BrowserLink is built on top of SignalR. So there's one demo that got done yesterday by Mats, okay? Which I have to say, thank you for coming to my talk instead of his. They always put us back to back. We hate it. It's just really annoying. It's like we have to compete. And he's like my homeboy, so it's kind of irritating. Now, that's all well and good. I've built a 1989 hit counter. It's not really exciting. But I didn't have to do it with a Java applet. So that part's kind of cool. So what I want to do here is I'm going to comment out this guy. And you'll see that I've got an override method right here called onDisconnected. Now, wait a minute. Right. Are you trying to tell me that the server's going to know when somebody closes their browser? Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. The server's going to know when I close my browser. No. Couldn't possibly work. That defies logic and reason. That defies everything I've ever known about the web. He's going to have a demo fail, isn't he? Damn it. See what's happened? I do a control N right here on this guy. And just to show you that it's not an ActiveX control, open it up in Chrome, maybe, if I'm lucky. All right, and I'll close it. Oh. You guys like that? Did you ever think you could do real-time HTTP? And if you did you ever think it'd be that easy? It's like 15 lines of code. All right, let's move on. Now, like I've already talked about with the SignalR stuff, kind of the cornerstone of SignalR technology is a hub. Pretty appropriately named concept, huh? So I've got a couple of clients and I've got a hub right in the middle. One client's gonna send a message, he's gonna say, clients all dot do work. All the clients are gonna do what they gotta do. Then he's gonna say, clients dot caller dot do work. It's gonna call back to me. Then he might say, clients dot others dot do work. Now it's only gonna go to those guys. And you also have this concept of groups. The flagship application, oh, I'm sorry, do you want me to go back? You were taking a picture. Do you want me to go back to that slide? Okay. Just whistle or something if I'm rushing your slide pictures. And now I completely forgot what I was talking about. So I'll just move on. Oh, there. All right. So that's pretty cool and everything. That looks nice. But let's do Damien's demo. So I'm going to do Damien's demo real quick, and then I'm just going to move right on real quick. You've probably seen this demo before. By the way, I'll go ahead and say, like, Damien, if you get a chance to see Damien talk about SignalR, run, fight, claw, kick, do whatever you've got to do, but go see Damien do a SignalR talk. The guy wrote it, and the level of passion that he's got is astounding. He's one of the only people I've ever seen who can stand here and present and code and not look down, and he doesn't make any errors. And he goes full speed both times. Took coding away. I'm not going to do that because I'd make a fool out of myself. But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to pull up this box, I'm going to click it, and I'm going to drag it around. You like that? That's pretty cool. So you can kind of see the possibilities here. Oh, I could use SignalR for real-time gaming. Good idea. Okay. And since it works across all different clients, which I'm going to show you now, you could do this in pretty much any environment. You can do this wherever you want to. All right. Real quickly, I'm going to close this down and go back to the slide real quick just to kind of make one point. On this next slide here, I'm going to show you the different parts to SignalR. These are the different components. You've already seen one of them, this one, JavaScript, and you've already seen this guy, the ASP.NET host for SignalR. There's a couple of other pieces to it, too. What they did with SignalR was they said, we want to be able to run real-time in any platform. We want to do it anywhere. We want to make it open source. So they also added a .NET client, which I'm going to show you here in a second. So this real-time stuff that I'm showing you on the web, you can also do that from .NET. So you can have a .NET application talking to a web application, talking to a phone application, and whenever they have time, they're going to write an iOS port for it. And since it's mono compatible, what else do you think you could run it on? The Android. You could get the Xamarin Studio for Visual Studio, write your .NET code for your Android app, deploy it to your Android app. If you're using SignalR, it's going to work. Because when Miguel saw it, he said, we got to include that in Mono. All right, so I want to go ahead and point out that you've got that. And then this is the other guy, the Owen host. Has anybody heard of Project Katana? Probably heard Howard Dierking talking about Project Katana. It's a new, like, hosting mechanism that we've got inside of .NET. The Open Web Interface for .NET, I think is what it's called. It's kind of an open source movement. SignalR parties on it, Katana parties on it. You can host your own web API controllers if you want to, and you can host your own hubs if you want to. I'll show you that later on. Why would you want to do that? Well, I'm an Azure guy, and one of the things in Azure is called a worker role. It's like a Windows service that runs in the cloud. I don't even have to create a web role. I don't even have to create a website. I don't even have to use ASP.NET. I can host my SignalR guy in an Owen server in a worker role, and then I can make connections to it if I want to. And you'll be able to do that with Web API as well. Katana's coming out pretty soon, so you'll be able to play with it a little bit. And then I talked about the different backplanes. There's three. There's SQL, there's Service Bus, and there's Redis. And I'm going to show you these two today. If we have time, I'll show you this one, but it probably won't happen because there's a VM involved, and I don't think it's running. So I want to point out that you've got these different backplanes that you can actually use whenever you want to get into farming. And I can show you, I got a slide later on that kind of makes the point about a backplane pretty efficiently. Hanselman likes it. I won't give it to him though. All right, now, that was Damien's MoveShape demo. I want to show you Brady's MoveShape demo. Now, I did this for the first time in Slovenia a couple months ago. And to make sure that it worked, this is one of my favorite stories. I actually was standing in front of a hotel room, and I put my Kinect, which is right up here on the table, on the desk, and I grabbed a video camera, and I kind of backed up and I videoed it, which I'm going to show you here in a second. I sent the video to Damien and the whole SignalR team, and he replies, but he actually added two other teams, and he says, "Now you're just showing off." Okay. We like to come up with new ways to use SignalR pretty regularly. So what I've got here is I've got a Kinect daemon. It's basically a console EXE that's going to be listening for skeletal input on my Kinect. And then I've got the exact same website that I just showed you with that move shape demo, but it's not going to be listening to other browsers. It's going to be listening from my Kinect code. But I want to show you one piece of that Kinect code. I'm not going to walk through all of it because my name is not Clint Rutkus, so I don't really know how this works. Okay, I'm not a big Kinect guy. I like to say I am, but you know, I'm not that good at it. Now, remember that HTML code that I have, and if you can't, I'll go ahead and pull that up right here. And I want to show you a couple of things. Here's my JavaScript code. New connection. Here's my .NET code. New connection. Connection.createHubProxy. Connection.createHubProxy. Connection.start. Continue with. Connection.start, done. They've got linguistic parity between .NET and JavaScript. Who'd have thought? Is that pretty cool? So once you make SignalR work inside of JavaScript, you already know how to make SignalR work from .NET because the language is the same. The language is exactly the same. They made those signatures identical. That inspired a project that I'm working on right now on the Azure SDK. Remember when I said we want to have it in multiple languages? The reason we want to be able to do that is we got inspired by this idea. I actually want to make it all look the same, but I don't know if I'll win that fight. So anyway, got a console app running, got a web page running. It's going to work. Oh, what is not plugged in? I probably need to quit that. That's okay. Did I have the right thing plugged in here? No. Told you. There. That's better. All right. You move this over. Maybe. You like that? This would be a good time to clap. All right, I love that. Thanks for re-energizing me. All right, you guys like that? Did any light bulbs just go off? Anybody already thinking, God, I wish I would have had this when I did Project X 2 years ago and I had to do a polling thing and that project sucked and it would have been easier with SignalR? Anybody having that thought right now? Anybody having that opposing thought? Wow, there's this project that I just came up with that I think I want to do with SignalR. All right, so I want to point out that that's how you use the .NET client. It's kind of a silly demo. But there's the linguistic parity again. This is a slide that just shows you that it's exactly the same with a little bit of capitalization. David and Damien wanted to be good citizens for JavaScript guys and for .NET guys, so they went with the capitalization sequence that is appropriate for each language. They're nice guys. All right. Integration with other .NET parts. Now, this is the part where we kind of take that .NET guy, the .NET client that I just showed you with the Kinect, and I show you how to fire a SignalR hub and to make the clients respond from the server side from a different technology. And this particular technology is going to be Web API. So I'm going to show you how to do that real quick. And then I'm going to show you the demo that will probably fail. Okay? So I'm going to make a call out to a Web API controller. If you know you're going to be doing this, take a picture of the screen right now, because it can be a little tricky to figure the syntax out, okay? But what you want to do is you want to make a call out to the SignalR global host. And this is a guy that kind of runs under the covers and just hosts all the SignalR stuff. And since they've written the abstraction for all the clients, don't you think they've also abstracted the concept of the global host? It doesn't matter if you're hosting it inside of ASP.NET or inside of OWN. You just call global host and it figures out where to go. So on the server side, I'm going to say globalhost.connectionmanager.githubcontext. I'm going to pass it the name of the context that I've got right here. And I do want to point out that if you pass it the generic method version of this, there's another version that doesn't take a generic. Whenever you start looking at the methods that's going to hand you back, it doesn't tell you the methods that are on that hub. That was a little weird for me too. But it just doesn't tell you that. Why do you think it doesn't tell you that? Because those methods are probably going to be dynamic and they're going to change all the time. You're going to evolve your hubs. You don't want to have to go back to this code and change it too. So you just kind of have to know what the language of your hub is, and then you can actually make a call to it from the server side. So you could have an ASP.NET page, an MVC page, a web API controller, or something happening on the server, and you can fire messages out from the server side. So this kind of is sticking to the why should web pages have all the real-time fun when we're talking about web servers. So we've done the connect, and now we're going to do a web server, and I'm going to show you how this works. All right. And then the last thing that happens is it makes a call out to that SignalR hub, and then, of course, the SignalR hub is going to call out to the clients. Is that logical? Does that kind of make some sense? So this is just a way of showing you that you don't have to initiate the SignalR hub conversation from the client. I've already shown you how the server is going to call back out to the client. In this case, you don't even have to reference that hub directly. You can just tell SignalR what to do, right? I'm going to show you one demo that will work, and then I'm going to show you one demo that probably won't work. Right? And this is going to be calling SignalR from the server side from within a web API controller. How am I doing on time? Okay. How much more time do I have? 10:30, 10:45? Okay. Might be going too fast. Is it over at 11 or 10:45? 11? You guys might get a couple minutes of your life back. We're going too fast. All right. So now I've got this project open, and this is just a traditional VS 2012 project. I haven't upgraded this to VS 2013 yet. I don't really have to upgrade it because we've got the backwards compatibility. So I could have opened this up in VS 2013, but I'm just not going to do that today. I'm running an internal build, so there's some things that I might not want you to see. I did it yesterday, but I hid all those things. So I want to point that out. You could just open this project up inside of Visual Studio and you'd be good. By the way, I have a GitHub page out there. I'll go ahead and pull this up. I think I have my demos out there. I'm github.com/BradyGaster. And I believe that I have my talk, all these samples out there already. I may not. If I don't, I'll be putting them out there. I'm looking here. This guy right here, the DDODN 2013 SignalR demos, that's a talk that I did at the Dallas Day of .NET. If you want to grab these demos, they're good. This set of demos, there's like 50 demos in this guy, and it's been referenced a lot. I need to delete it because it's using the alpha release of SignalR. But you could grab that. A lot of the SignalR stuff is not going to work because I haven't revved it to the 1.0 release. But it might give you some ideas. So if you want to take a look at that SignalR samples guy, it'll probably inspire you, but you'll have to upgrade all the code. I just haven't done it yet. There's literally a billion lines of code in that repo. So I just want to show you this for numerous reasons. One, I put all of my talks out on my GitHub page. So this one will be out there after the talk, probably 2 days or so. You can go out there and grab it. And the reason I do that is, how many of you present at like code camps or do lunch and learns with your office? I'm going to give you my deck. Use it. Just use my stuff. I'm the open source presenter. So feel free to take my stuff and show it to your family, whatever. Give grandma a tour of SignalR, whatever you want. All right. So I just want to point out I don't have any copyrights on my talks. You might not want to have the tech ed template. That's up to you. Do whatever you want. And change the name if you don't want to be Brady. So what I've got here is I've got this guy, and in it I've got a controller. And it's just a simple messages controller, and this is the code that you already saw. I'm just going to take a GET request. Anybody use Web API yet? Okay, cool. So this is not going to be any surprise. I'm just going to make a GET request, and it's going to work. And that's the code that I showed you on the slide. I actually copied it out of here and put it into the slide. I'm just going to basically look for that hub, which I'm going to show you here in a second, and that's going to make a call back out to the client. Now, I'm going to have a web page, and on one side, it's going to have send something to the hub, and on the other side, it's going to say what I received from SignalR. So one goes in, and one comes out. Now, I've already shown you that you can invoke methods on the server. Okay, I've already shown you that you can do that. So why would I not want to do that inside of SignalR? That's a demo. I just want to show you that you can use the two pieces together if you want to. All right. So there's that guy. I want to go to this hub. Go to definition. Nothing in it. Nothing in it. Nothing in it. Get it? Right. And I don't even need that method. I could actually get rid of that method. I just leave it there because I'm kind of particular about wanting to initiate the conversation from the client. That's only a Brady thing. That's an OCD thing. You don't have to do that. Okay, I just want to make it clear that you do not have to do that. And then I want to tell you a real quick surprise. I'm going to go in here to my views. I've got a home view right here. And most of this code is going to look pretty similar. I'm going to create my hub. And then right here, whenever I click a button, I'm going to make an AJAX call out to my web API controller. I'm just going to call API/messages. Pass it a message, my query string. I'm just going to throw something up over the wall to my API controller. Now, whenever the messages come back from the SignalR hub, I'm going to handle them. But here's something interesting. Notice how here I've got hub on message received. But when you look in my hub class, I don't have any code. There's no code in there. I'm not giving it a method named on method received. I'm not passing anything to the server. I'm not even calling the init method. I don't even have any methods to call to send those messages to the client. Where do I have that? I have it right here. So I'm just saying clients.all.onMessageReceived inside of my web API controller hanging off the whole SignalR chain. Then I handle that thing right here. David and Damien have this crazy idea that one day you won't even need a hub class. That as long as the server and the client are telling one another methods that they both know about, it will just work. I don't know if that's going to be in the 2.0 release or whatever. I don't know if they decided to deprecate it. It was one of those things. It was one of the only times I saw the two of them kind of disagree. Like, they both thought it was cool, but David was like, we need server logic. Damien was like, why? So they went back and forth for like 9 hours. It was really fun to watch. And that was the only thing I saw. I just fell asleep. But they have this idea that you don't even really need the hub. Why would you need the hub? Why would you want to use the hub if you know that both sides are going to understand what to do? Can anybody think of one reason? There's really one big reason. No, there's two reasons. But that's right. That's a good second reason. What I was thinking of was security. Like, I want to use the server side to say, are you allowed to send these messages? But that's a great second reason. I have to append the conversation. But yeah, logging. You could do this stuff with logging as well. So if you want to log stuff on the server side. But you kind of see what's happening here. You've got this concept of, as long as both sides kind of have a conventional agreement, they can talk to one another. Is that pretty neat? You guys like that idea? All right, I'm going to run this real quick. And then I'm going to try the demo fail. Wish me luck. Probably start sweating. All right. So I'm going to put these two guys side by side. And I'm going to send a message. Now look. He sent the message and he received it. He hasn't sent any messages yet, but he did receive one back from the server. So that's web API sending a message that the client sends it to SignalR, and then everybody gets the messages. So in that case, I sent a bunch of messages from that second client. So I'm going to log that each one that I send on the left, I'm going to log each one that I receive on the right. Now, what I could do is change this code around a little bit to show you sort of how the hub stuff works. If I go into this hub right here, I could say, where is it? All except, oh, I guess they didn't hang that off of there. That's probably been changed. Yeah. I guess they haven't hung caller off of there in this version. I'm using the 1.1.3, which is the public release. They've got an alpha release of 2.0. I sent Damien an email the other day, and I said, hey, is there anything in 2.0 that you want me to show? I didn't hear back from him. And that's not to say that he's, you know, he's really, really busy. So the fact that the others isn't in there is kind of odd. I wonder if I could go up here to clients. There'll be others there. No, there's not. So I guess you can't do that in here, but what I was thinking of is that I could put others instead of all there, and it would only call the guys that weren't me. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, I guess it doesn't hang off of this type of chain. Okay, so that's all the simple stuff. I'm going to go way out on a limb here. Anybody ever heard of a .NET Gadgeteer? A Netduino, Arduino? Okay. I've got one running right here. I'm going to show it to you. All right. So this guy is the actual microprocessor. This guy is what I hook up to the computer with. It's the USB host. This is a temperature sensor, temperature and humidity. This right here is a multicolor LED, and you'll see that it's green, and it's yellow. When it's yellow, it's sending a message up to a hub in Azure. And this is an Ethernet port. Now, this didn't work a moment ago, but maybe it's working now. What I want to do is I want to open up this code, and I want to show this to you. This is pretty neat. I'm really not going to walk through this code a whole bunch, because the first thing you'll see is the good part. Does that look familiar? The Gadgeteer gives you a WYSIWYG way of designing your circuit. So in this case, I can basically snap these pieces together inside of my designer surface, and it sort of helps me know how to plug them in on the device. Okay? I've actually shown my son, who is 5, I just tried this. I only had one thing, like Ethernet dongle or something like that. I created a quick little project on the Gadgeteer and just hooked up a couple of little pieces, and I called Gabe over and I said, hey, build this for me. And he went, he built it. Because these are like snap-ins. They're really easy control. They're really easy to snap in right here. Now, what I'm going to do real quickly is I'm going to show you this code. And in this code, I'm basically going to be calling out to a API, to a sensor receiver, basically an API guy out on the server. And it's going to do exactly the same thing that I just showed you. I'm going to send messages to the API controller, and the API controller is going to use that global host to call a SignalR hub. And then there's going to be a web page with a couple of gauges on it that are going to be listening for messages from the SignalR hub. Whenever it gets a message to the API controller, it's going to bubble that message up into the client and update the charts and update the graphs, if it works, which is kind of probable. I'm getting green light, so I'm feeling good about it. Well, it's not going to work, is it? No, it's not going to work. Oh, well. I guess I'm not actually making an outbound connection for whatever reason. I'm not surprised because I didn't tell them I needed an open port. So it's probably not doing any negotiation. But what you would see here if the request was actually hitting the server is that these things are actually going to go up and down like this. These charts will actually go up and down. This makes me kind of nervous because this is one of my demos for next week in New Zealand. But for whatever reason, it's not making the outbound connection. Let me actually debug it real quick. We got a couple minutes of extra time here. I'll just show you this. Let me go into my program code. Network started. Blah, blah, blah. And see what it's doing is it's actually reading the temperature from the temperature sensor or the humidity from the temperature sensor. And then it's actually just going to make an outbound call, call that URL, and send it the temperature measurements. And what I'm trying to do here is to see if my network is up and down. It's probably down, which is odd because it's still flashing green. So it thinks it's making a connection, but I don't think it actually is. Sorry, this takes a second to spin up, but the reason I like to show you this is there's .NET code running on that .NET Gadgeteer. I can connect to it over USB, write .NET code against it, and I can debug it on the device, kind of like when you plug in your phone and you're building a phone app and you can debug on your phone. I can step through here on this device, and if you could see this guy right here, actually move this over. That cool? See if it's open. Oh, it's not open. So yeah, I don't have a connection apparently. I don't think it's open. And if you want to like watch something, like if you want to add a watch, it runs a little bit slowly. So it doesn't look like this is going to work, which I apologize for, but I wanted to show it to you because if you're into microcontrollers, if you're into like embedded development, you can imagine using something like this. Imagine sensors all over your house. Yeah, sure.
Are you using the micro framework?
Yeah, 4.2. Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't, I don't think it's actually working. Or maybe I'm just really dehydrated. No. All right, so that's that. Sorry about that. I did warn you. But this was running up in Windows Azure, so you could actually deploy that out there and you could party on it all you wanted to. But it's embedded, so if you've ever done, anybody ever done any embedded coding? So you know the failure ratio is like 103%. Right, okay. I have to figure out how that doesn't work, or talk to the network gods and ask them to be nice to me. Okay, so we've talked about clients. I've shown you how to access a SignalR hub from the client side using a Kinect device. I showed you how to access a SignalR hub from the server side. Now I'm going to show you one very important thing. If this seems boring to you, this is really when you ought to listen. Okay, most people kind of glaze over here because they think, oh, I'll figure it out. It'll just work. It's not going to work. Okay, if you know for a fact that there's a probability that your website is going to be at all successful and you want to do real time and you're going to have to scale out, please listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because once you scale out, it won't work anymore. If one client is connected to one server and another client is connected to another server and you haven't done what I'm going to show you right here, you'll wonder why the messages aren't going back and forth. This is very, very important. This is also one of the things that they had to redo about 3 times. It's just they really wanted to get it right. So a client's going to make a request to a server, and the server's going to respond in kind. It's going to say, hey, you're good. Everything's cool. So what happens when you try to make the call back to the other clients? It's not going to go back. And you saw that animation? It's only going to go one way. So it's only going to respond back to the clients that are connected to that server. If this client had made a request to that server, then the line's going to go that way too. But if you've got a user on another server and you want to hit them, it won't work unless you add a backplane. All right? So you drop in a backplane. Redis, SQL, Service Bus. Anybody wondering when you'd want to use one or the other? I'll tell you, and I'll give you Damien's answer. This is not something that you're going to hold me accountable for. Damien said, if they ask you which backplane to use, if they're running in Azure, tell them to use Service Bus. If they're running on-prem, tell them to use SQL. And all the hippies can use Redis. Okay, that's his answer. So if you're into Redis, if like Redis is your thing, you can totally go with Redis. I used to host a show on Channel 9 called Webcamps TV. One of the first groups that I interviewed were the SignalR guys, David and Damien. I emailed them because I was running late. This is like one of my favorite stories about these guys. And I'm sorry that I have so many stories, but I like to connect with you and make David and Damien look human. Because in my opinion, they're superhuman, and you will after you hear this story. So I'm running about 10 minutes late. So I sent David an email. And I said, hey, I'm running late. I'm going to do the best I can. I'll be about 10 minutes. He said, okay, cool. I walk in, and David's hacking away. It's code, code, code. And I walked in, and I was like, what you doing? And he goes, enter. Cool. I just wrote the Redis backplane. And I said, in the 10 minutes you were waiting for me to come? He said, yeah. I said, were you playing with it before that? He goes, no, I just started because you were late. It took him 10 minutes to write the Redis backplane, the first version of it. It's probably gone through a couple of revs since then because they've changed the way the backplane architecture works. But the first one he wrote in 10 minutes. And then remember what they did on stage in 1 hour. They rewrote SignalR from nothing. These guys are brilliant. Okay, I would highly recommend that you follow them on Twitter because they're always throwing out neat stuff. Now, here's what it works when you add a backplane. I'm going to make a request out. It's going to hit my server. The server's going to hit the backplane. The backplane's going to send a message back to all the other servers, and all those servers are going to send a message to all the clients that are connected. 50,000, 50,000, 50,000. Ad nauseum. Think about the possibilities. Does this sound exciting to you? Here's a nice implementation of this. Imagine if you're at a theme park, okay? Imagine if you're at a big theme park and you don't want to wait in line and you want to be notified when the line is like short. This is a good way to do that. Imagine if you want to track all your drivers. Imagine if they're connected to phones and they've got a little app running on their thing and you're the dispatcher and you want to know where everybody is. A map could show you where everybody is in real time. Is that neat? Who already had that idea? That's one of the first things people think, mapping. Okay. It's one of the first things I did with it. All right, so I'm going to show you two ways to do this. Like I said, I haven't spun up my VM, so I'm not going to be able to show you that one. But the first one I'm going to show you how to do is how to scale out SignalR using SQL. So that if you want to do this on-prem or you want to use the SQL up in Windows Azure, you can do that. And then I'm going to go off and I'm going to show you how to do the same thing using the Windows Azure Service Bus, which is the next slide. So I'll go ahead and get to that slide so that when we get back to this, we'll be in the right place. Okay, I'm going to switch over back to my code. All right, maybe. And I'm going to go right here to my scaling with SignalR demo, and I'm going to open this up. I need to open up SQL as well. All right, you guys having fun? Anybody bored yet? Too many stories? Okay, I thought your hand was going up. All right, so what I've got here, I've got a couple of little databases, but I'm going to need to create another one. I'm going to show you why right now. I'm going to go into my web config, and you'll see that I've got this connection string right here. And I'm going to want to make a database called Scaling SignalR. I can call it whatever I want, as long as the connection string is, of course, accurate. So I just want to point out that that's my Scaling SignalR database. And I'm only going to have to do one thing. New database. Done. I don't have to make any tables. I don't have to do anything at all. Because the SignalR stuff is going to do that for me. It's going to scaffold all that for me on the fly. Just to show you that I'm not faking you out, no tables. No tables in the database. Now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into my code. Who thinks this backplane stuff sounds really complicated? It's going to be 100 lines of code. It's going to suck. It's one line of code. What I've done is I've added a NuGet package. The name of that NuGet package is right there. ASP.NET SignalR SQL Server. I can't draw straight lines. I blame it on my astigmatism. Sounds like a good excuse, right? All right, so that's the NuGet package that you want to pull down. Now, the guys on the SignalR team, they said, we like conventions. So what I want you to do, whenever you build a backplane, if I can find it, I guess they've put it into the SignalR namespace, which is kind of nice. But this dependency resolver is the guy that you could actually inject like your own IOC container in here. And you could actually put constructor arguments in your hubs. This stuff parties just like MVC and Web API does. SignalR has its own dependency resolver implementation, just like Web API and MVC. Anybody ever wonder why we don't have one dependency resolver? You ever heard of SOLID? SOLID principality? Okay, we want you to implement your own container because you might want them to do different things. We don't want to make any assumption. You could write your own generic IOC container and then throw everything into it if you wanted to. I've done that. It's not very hard. But I just want to point out that if you do want to inject your hubs, you'd want to use this guy, the dependency resolver. And you can use Ninja, Unity, anything you want. They've got a default one that just kind of figures out what to do. I don't know what it uses by default. But they actually implemented their own IOC container based on top of Ninject. That's kind of the first one that they had out there. A friend of mine in America wrote one for Unity. You could do your own if you wanted to. So I just want to point out that you do have dependency resolution and SignalR that you can do whatever you want. And what they've done is they've given you an extension method called useSQLServer. And then you pass it a connection string and you're done. When we get to the code to show you how to do this using Service Bus, it's exactly the same thing. But instead of useSQLServer, it's useServiceBus. You know what you pass it? A connection string to your service bus namespace. It's that easy. They wanted it to be easy. They wanted it to be simple. So the first thing I'm going to do here, I'm going to comment this out. And I'm going to make this point for you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and build that so I know I've got everything right. And I'm going to go right here. You'll see that I've got these two batch scripts. One of them is going to fire up IIS Express on port 8080. The second is going to fire up IIS Express on port 8081. This simulates two servers running the same site. Kind of silly, but it works. All right, now I'm going to run these two guys. And there we go. IIS is running right there. IIS is running right there. I'm going to fire up a browser. I'll probably have to put the name of the page. Okay, so there's one. I'm going to copy this. And you'll see that I'm actually hitting the server over there. And I'm going to leave this up so you can see this guy. I'll paste this in and I'll change this to 8080. You see that I'm actually making a request back to that guy. So see what's happening here? Got two servers running the same site. I'm just going to send a couple of messages. Oh, it's not working. He said it would just work. You lied. All right. I'm going to kill that. I want to kill that. Let my IISs die. Leave my web browsers open because I'm really lazy. I'm going to undo this. I'm going to do a rebuild real quick. And to me, this demo like proves the point. Like when you hear about scale out, you're like, I'll get there. Okay, especially if you're going to deploy your website to the cloud, any cloud. You should go with Azure, but any cloud. If you're deploying a website to the cloud, you are making an assumption that one day you will run on multiple servers. If you don't just add backplanes out of the gate, you're going to change your code later. So I just want to stress this. If you know that there's a probability that you have a good idea and you're going to have a lot of traffic, go ahead and scale out. Go ahead and scale out of the gate. Pick your poison. Doesn't matter which one you go with. They all work. SQL, Service Bus, whatever. If you are running your site in Azure, I'd recommend Service Bus because it does run a little bit faster. It runs a little bit slower when you hit it locally, or it did last night. Maybe it'll be a little bit faster today. But if you're running inside the Azure Fabric, there's no better option than to use Service Bus to do your scale out. It's absolutely fantastic. All right, now, there we go. Make sense? Does that kind of make that point? Does that kind of show you why you'd want to scale out? Make any sense? Any questions about that at this point? Now, if I go back over to my SQL Server before you ask your question, and I hit F5, there's my tables. You don't even have to worry about making those tables, which is good. They're odd. So I just want to point that out. Go ahead.
So you have owner role for that user. Can you script the tables or generate the tables without doing it automatically?
Probably. I would presume so. I could ask David and Damon to get back to you on it. There's nothing special. They're just running a SQL script. I mean, at the very least, like if you really wanted to be brute force, you could just open the code in Reflector and find the SQL area and just copy it out and paste it in. I know that's kind of esoteric, but they've obviously got SQL scripts somewhere that they're running, and I'm sure they're like out on GitHub. That's probably where they are because they host their project in GitHub. That's a good question.
It's part of the connecting screen. You can specify the account.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that. So have you used a SQL backplane?
Yeah, I've actually used the Service Bus.
Oh, really? Have you had good success? Okay, cool. You're just playing so far? Okay, cool. You guys heard of the Build Conference? Build Windows? San Francisco? A friend of mine works for an event company, and his company was hired by Microsoft to do part of the question and answer stuff that they were, like when you were taking questions from Channel 9, like users were entering questions like on the client side. He actually used the Service Bus backplane for that. And it worked pretty well. At one point, it fell down, and we couldn't figure out why it fell down, so he moved it to Redis in like 20 minutes. They basically wrote the code for Redis 2 just to be safe. They created a VM. And anybody think you'd want to use Redis? Anybody? Okay. Let me explain the process to you. It's really, really simple. Create a VM. You can use Redis to go if you want to, which runs on AWS, I believe. I've used many times. They're fantastic as well. And I think that's actually what this event company used. I can't remember if they used them or if they... I don't think they could use Redis to go because the cap was too low. So they actually created a VM. And Microsoft OpenTech has written a Redis implementation for Windows. And it's on GitHub. You clone that repository. You build it. Then you take Redis underscore server.exe. You put it on your VM. And you run it. And you probably have to open a port. It's like, I think it's 6379. Does that sound right, anybody? It's some random 6,000 level port. You have to open that port. And once you open that port, you would basically do exactly the same thing that you've seen me do with SQL, but instead of SQL or Service Bus, it would be Hughes Redis. And you give it the server name, and if you've got a username and a password, and it'll just make an outbound connection. It's exactly the same as the SQL and the Service Bus. That's the convention they wanted everybody to adhere to. Okay. So if you want to use Redis, that's what I'd recommend. Just make a VM or have a server somewhere with a Redis EXE running and do that. The point was I don't remember why it blew up. I think it was one of the alpha releases of the Service Bus backplane that they were using. They changed it over to Redis and it kept on partying. But that shows you something. This conventional process that the SignalR guys have implemented, you can just hot swap things in and out. Like the provider model, you guys remember that from ASP.2.0? Again, showing my age. You can just provider it out and it'll work. Okay. Any other questions at this point? It's not necessarily the SQL Server side. The question was, how does SQL Server know how to notify? I'll give you two answers to that. The first answer is SQL Notification Services, or whatever that thing is. Does anybody remember what that's called in SQL Server? Event Broker. If you're using something like Event Broker, it's gonna be doing it for you. If you're not using Event Broker, there's kind of a poll on the backplane side. It keeps making a connection back to the SQL Server and saying, do you have any messages? And then it will send them up. So if you're using Event Broker, it's going to be outbound. If you're not using Event Broker, it's going to be a poll. So that's how it works. It's basically part of the backplane implementation. Any other questions about that at this point?
Is there a performance one site before you scale that across to multiple?
50,000 simultaneous connections. No, there's not.
Adding the SQL.
Exponentially increases it. In the stress test that they've done, anybody want to take a wild guess in the stress test that they've done? I'm trying to predict when he's going to actually snap so I can give him a funny face. I just let him go. They've done a couple of different tests on this, and imagine the stress test lab where they're just banging on SignalR. Anybody want to take a wild guess what fell down first? Bless you. Anybody want to guess CPU? You'd be wrong. Anyone want to guess memory? You'd be wrong. Those are both flat. The network card. The network card went. Okay? They flooded the network. The CPU was flat. CPU was like, bring it. So I don't know how to answer that question. I can't even make a microcontroller talk to a network. So, all right. But yeah, that's the first thing that fell down. And it fell down repeatedly. And I'm not saying that is I shouldn't use SignalR, it'll kill my network. But if it's going to kill anything, it's going to kill your network. So have a gigabit card or whatever it is, fiber, laser, whatever. Okay. Any other questions at this point?
How does it handle 3G connections?
How does it handle 3G connections? I'll show you. We'll get there. Very well. Very well. But again, if you walk into the bathroom and it's a concrete room, you have no cell reception.
Low latency and stuff, does that open a lot of connections on the server?
Oh, no, it's just one. It's just one. But as soon as the one dies, it'll reopen it. Like basically, as soon as it kills the connection, it'll just try to make another one again.
Is the connection on the server going to close weight or down weight? Or?
Pardon me?
I mean, the connection on the server, does that actually go into window?
It waits.
Yeah,
it closes. Like it, once the client disconnects, the server goes, oh, you're gone, and it waits for another connection. So, which actually raises an interesting question, or raises an interesting point. I want to make something very, very clear. Remember how I said SignalR makes everything else look like a nail? Okay, I want to point out 10 minutes. Okay, I might skip the next demo. I'll do it real quick. It's very important for me to point out. SignalR is not durable messaging. If you decide to use SignalR for durable messaging, you're going to lose messages. And that's not to say that you shouldn't use SignalR because it's not durable. That's to say you should use SignalR in the appropriate place. Okay, like if you know that your client's going to disconnect and that message is going to go out into the ether, don't use it. Use queuing. Okay, just want to point that out, make that case. Okay, I want to give you the option. Do you want to see the service bus demo, or do you want to see the really hot demo? Okay, I'll do the hot demo. Okay. If I've shown you SQL, I've shown you service bus. So it's just a different line of code. I'll skip that one, too. I can show you the code later if we have time. Look at Katana. This is sort of the icing on the cake for this talk. Web, Windows, and mobile chatting with SignalR. I'm going to have a web client, a Windows client, and a phone client. Cross your fingers, because I'm going to do it old school style with a camera and a phone, which means I need to move this. Hopefully I didn't just break all that. All right. So I'm going to open up my chat demo right here. By the way, chat's kind of the hello world of SignalR demos, messages, easy. So I've got this website running up in Azure. Did I close that browser? I did, didn't I? I've got a website running up in Azure that's a simple little chat app. If you want to play along, please remember that this is being recorded and will be on Channel 9 later. Okay, so be nice. Okay. I'm going to go ahead here and do the browse. The URL is autechedchat.azurewebsites.net. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back over here to this guy, and you'll see that I have two applications here. I've got a Modern UX, which is a Windows 8 application, and I've got a Windows Phone application. Now, you've already seen the code, so I'm not going to go too deep into it. The idea behind this series of chats that I want to point out to you, I want to show you ways that you can use SignalR and inspire you. The nice thing about a lot of the code that I've shown you is that it's the same 8 lines of code over and over and over and over and over again. You've already learned SignalR if you've remembered the demos that I've shown, because the code's always the same. New connection, open hub connect, create hub proxy, hub.on, start, invoke, party, you're done. The code is exactly the same inside of here. New connection, create hub proxy, on. Here's the cool part, you can generify, my word, you can generify this stuff. You can actually say, I expect to get a string, receive message. Anybody ever written a Windows app and they have a long-running process and then they want to update the client? When they do, you get a message that says, like, cannot update the UI from a different thread. You ever seen that horrible, horrible error message? Okay, it's resident in Windows 8, it's resident in Windows Phone. Okay, the reason I point that out, the only line of code that's really SignalR-y in here is this one. This wrapper is so I don't get that error. And the same thing is true for right here. Run async, same kind of deal. Connection.start, continue with, don't blow up my thread, and then I basically just look at the information and party on it. So that's that. The Windows Phone code looks exactly the same. Let's see if my phone's died yet. Yay! It hasn't. I might not have a connection. All right, so there's my phone. All right, wish me luck. I'm going to go ahead and run this guy. Have you entered any nasty messages yet? Thank you. Thank you for whoever said that. The schnizzle. You forgot the N. You can use it in SharePoint. You can also use it in Office apps, because Office apps are HTML and JavaScript now. Bomber did a demo of that on stage. I'm going to run this guy, and I'm going to run it in the simulator. So there's a whole gaggle of things that could go wrong. But I've got this in the simulator. We got a little thing right here. I'm connected. Now I'm going to go over here. Get all this running here. If you're looking at the web page, oh, of course that would happen. Oh, shucks. Sorry, guys. Oh, look, look. I'm getting messages from your web stuff, okay? Now, this is when everything could go south. Oh, by the way, if you write an application with SignalR, you have to end it with R. Developers, developers. That's awesome. I'm Brady Gaster. I hope you like SignalR. Thanks a lot. Sorry, the micro didn't work. Oh, by the way, there. If you're wondering, is there a .NET MF client for SignalR? God, I wish. They were playing with it, but they had to do something like support web pages first. So they had to bail on that idea. But it's an open source project. So if you're really good at NetMF, write one. Here's the kicker. NetMF doesn't support async. NetMF doesn't support generics. On and on and on. Good luck with that. It's not easy, but they want to do it. I really want them to do it too. Cool. Remember to do your, somebody's slick. Did it work on the site? Okay, cool. Coffee! All right, hope you guys had fun. Please do your evals. Please be nice. Please be honest. Have fun at the conference. Thanks a lot.